Manuscript Releases, Volume 3. Mr. Number 166. E. G. White Letters for Primary Book. Here we are in Washington. I was very weary when I took the cars. For a day or two I was quite sick. Preparing for my journey had been a heavy strain upon me. I kept in my berth all the way over, sitting up in the other seats, only for half an hour once or twice. In the car, we all seemed very much like one family. Although at times there were between 30 and 40 people in the car, there was no noise, no loud talking, no card playing. All seemed like acquaintances, each interested in the other. The passengers showed me much kindness. The conductor of our car was a quiet, nice-looking man. He seemed to understand his business well. At one station a man bought some beer at a saloon, and put it in a cupboard at the end of the car. The conductor heard of this, and promptly ordered the beer taken out, saying that he would allow no such thing on the car. During all the time we were on the train, I did not get one whiff of tobacco, excepting once or twice, when someone passed through the car with a lighted cigar in his hand. We had many pleasant interviews with the passengers. As I talked with them, I felt an earnest desire to meet them again sometime. When we were nearing Washington, and were preparing to leave the car, the conductor went round to every seat, and with a kindly handclasp bade the passengers goodbye. This was something I had never before seen done. We shook hands with many of our fellow travelers as we parted. All expressed good wishes for one another. We seemed like old friends saying goodbye. We spent Sunday morning packing up our belongings and getting ready to leave the car. Our numerous bags and satchels were piled up in one seat, and when the train drew into the station, Clarence passed them through the open window to Willie, who put them on a truck. As they were doing this, Elder Daniels came up, and we went with him out through the station to the carriage. The carriage is an easy, two-seated surrey, with a canopy top. The horse is a large, noble-looking animal, very gentle, and perfectly safe. I feel greatly favored in having the use of this horse and carriage. We drove directly from the station to the house which has been rented for us in Tacoma Park. This is a three-story building standing in about 10 acres of land, and is built on the highest rise of ground near here. 500 feet below and 6 miles away is the city of Washington, reached either by the streetcar or the train. The house is very comfortable. I have a room nearly as large as my room at home. We had a very pleasant trip from San Francisco to Washington. Several times a song service was held in the car, and this took well. Many of the passengers outside of our party united in the singing. I have spoken several times since coming here. Last Sabbath the Lord gave me strength to speak to a congregation of over 1,000 in the large tent. All seemed astonished to see that my voice was strong enough to reach all in the large tent, and even those standing on the outside. Since coming here, my health has been quite good. I am glad that I came. All seem surprised that I can step around as spry as I do. Our party has 4 rooms in the west end of the boys' dormitory, on the first floor. The dormitory is an excellent building. Everything about it is strong and firm. Thorough work has been done in its construction. We go out riding nearly every day in a nice, easy carriage. Everything possible has been done to make me comfortable. We have had beautiful singing at the meetings and several different kinds of musical instruments have produced the sweetest sounds. During the first part of the meeting there was some rain, but for days the weather has been very fine though not hot. Mabel, remember that Jesus is your helper. He loves you, and will be your sympathizing friend. If we think of his goodness, talk of his power, the result will be that we shall be changed into his image. We try to do as Christ would do, and as we follow his way, we become meek and lowly. I love Jesus because he first loved me. We all need to keep our eyes fixed on Christ, and to follow in his footsteps, doing our best, and remembering that we are thus being prepared for the mansions that he has gone to prepare for those who love him as their best friend and counselor. Let us be determined to be a light to those around us, revealing Christ in character. My dear child, have courage in the Lord. Pray, and believe, and trust in your Savior, and he will be your joy and crown of rejoicing. My dear daughter May Lacey White, and grandchildren, Henry, Herbert, and Gracie, we are pleasantly situated here, but I am longing for home. I do so much want to see you all. Your father has worked very hard, and he wants to go home as much as you want him to come. But the future of the work here demanded our staying for a while. We could not have gone home earlier. When we reached the Paradise Valley, we found the workmen busy digging a well on the lower part of the land. This work has gone forward successfully, without accident of any kind, and I am very glad to be able to tell you that a good supply of soft, pure water has been found. The workmen went down 90 feet, and one morning when they went to work, they found 18 feet of water in the well, with all their tools at the bottom. That morning Brother Palmer and your father came to my room, their faces lighted up with smiles, to tell me about the water in the well. Oh, I wish you could have seen the joy on their faces. To get the water out of the well was the problem now. The workmen set the pumping engine going at once, but they found that this lowered the water very slowly. So they sent for a larger cylinder and a larger pipe, and finally they got the water pumped out. There is already one patient in the Paradise Sanitarium. She seems to be a very nice woman. Other patients are waiting, and will come as soon as the building is ready. The night before we left, Sarah said to me, "Two more patients came this evening. Where will they put them?" I asked. "In the barn, I guess," was her answer. Then she explained that these patients were the two cows that someone had given to the sanitarium. The cows were brought overland in a large wagon drawn by four horses. Children, be helpful to your mother. Obey her word promptly, and the Lord will bless you. God said, "I know Abraham, that he will." Coax, "No. That he will command his children and his household after him, and they will keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. Should your father and mother allow you to do wrong things, without correcting you, they would displease God. God wants you, Henry and Herbert, to behave like little gentlemen. When you speak kind words and do right deeds, you are forming characters that God can approve. He will be pleased to call you the lambs of his flock, and he will bless you. The angels of heaven are guarding and guiding you constantly, always keeping you from harm and danger. I pray that your words and acts may be such that God can look upon them with approval. Dear children, do not allow yourselves to do one wrong act. Your father and mother love you, but they cannot love wrongdoing. They are made very sorry when you do wrong. Will you not try to remember this? Will you not try to overcome all your faults, because you love Jesus, who gave his life for you? Your father and mother are trying to bring you up to be unselfish, truthful, kind, tender-hearted. They want to help you to prepare for the mansions that Christ has gone to prepare for you. He has promised to come again and take you to himself, that where he is, there you may be also. Then put away every fault, and prepare yourselves to be received into the heavenly home, where you will be happy forever and ever. I will tell you what I saw in the street coming to this place. A boy was abusing a dog. He was a small boy, but I thought, that child is educating himself in cruelty. I thought how my heart would ache if one of you should do as he was doing. I passed along another street and a well-dressed man, who appeared like a gentleman, was driving a fine horse. The wind blew a piece of paper under the horse's feet, and he started and jumped to one side. That was all, but the man who appeared to be a gentleman whipped the horse cruelly. He was not satisfied with this. He became more and more excited until he was worked up into a rage. He jumped from the carriage and seized the bit, and jerked the horse's head back and then kicked the horse several times with his heavy boot. I thought probably that man began his acts of cruelty as did the little boy upon small animals. He acted the tyrant over God's helpless creatures until the temper and spirit were educated to cruelty. That man could not be a patient, kind, affectionate father. He was cultivating traits of character which would cause others sorrow and make himself miserable. A man cannot be a Christian and allow his temper to fire up at any little accident or annoyance that he may meet, and show that Satan is in him in the place of Jesus Christ. The passionate belaboring of animals or the disposition to show he is master is often exhibited toward God's creatures in the streets. This is venting their own anger or impatience upon helpless objects which show they are superior to their masters. They bear all without retaliation. Children, be kind to dumb animals. Never cause them pain unnecessarily. Educate yourselves to habits of kindness. Then it will become habitual. I will send you a clipping from a paper, and you can decide if some dumb beasts are not superior to some men who have allowed themselves to become brutish by their cruel course of action to dumb animals. We are at home again. We are thankful for this. Thursday we rode 60 miles. The snow was very deep, in many places nearly as high as the houses. While trying to get the sleigh over a fallen tree, the reach, coupling pole, broke and we were down. We had to get out in the deep snow, unload the sleigh, and lift the box off the runners. A man came along in the woods just then and helped us toggle up the sleigh. We lashed it together with straps and went on. We stood in the snow more than half an hour. About 10 o'clock it commenced snowing and snow continued to fall until 12. Large flakes coming very fast. We never saw it on this wise before. Inches of snow were piled upon us and around us in the sleigh. To make it still more uncomfortable, the rain began to come. But we rode on, every hour bringing us nearer home, and we were glad to lessen the distance. When within 4 miles of home, we were so unfortunate as to enter upon a road open for several miles, but entirely blocked up and impassable at the other end. The horses went up to their backs in drifts. We feared their getting down. After passing through fields, we were told there was no possibility of getting through and had to go back. As we passed over drifts, we got out, lightened the sleigh and again plowed through the snow, while it was steadily raining. After this, we had no very special difficulties. We arrived home about dark. Corliss had watched for us all day and had sadly given up our coming. We felt glad to step into our own house. We found letters from you and from many others. You must write us often. Acquaint yourself with the Bible. Let your high aim be the glory of God. Closely search your own heart. They are waiting for me. Write. We received a letter from you, soon after our letter was mailed to you. You were quite liberal this time. Thank you all for your favors. If you knew how we prize a letter or letters from you, you would be prompt in writing. I have no fault to find with you. You have all done well. Last Thursday morning we rode 18 miles to Athens. We found the people needed help very much. I spoke Sunday morning, then we had a meeting with the church especially, then a praying season with the family we had tarried with. We started at 5 o'clock for Norridgewock. Brother Ira Rogers had taken us in a wagon. He exchanged that for a sleigh, as the night before we had a fall of snow about 2 or 3 inches. It was extremely cold, and a sleigh was preferable to a wagon. We came wrapped up with all the clothing we had. We came 13 miles in 1 hour and a half. It seemed sometimes as though we almost flew over the ground. But it was intensely cold, and we came near freezing. We tarried with Brother Cyphers to warm up. My fingers suffered terribly, but they were not frozen. The last 5 miles was alongside the river. A keen breeze blew directly in our faces. I was so unfortunate as to freeze my face pretty severely. It is very sore. This morning we rode on the cars but could not keep warm by any means. The air circulated about our feet, chilling them. We are now in Brother Howland's hospitable home. We are now sitting before a fireplace. My stand is drawn up to the fire and I am writing to you. Your father and Brother Andrews are talking as fast as they can talk. Addie Chamberlain is crocheting by my stand. Brother Howland is putting on a large log in order to throw out the heat. Becky is standing behind me untangling a snarl of worsted. Willie, please write me how you employ your mind. What progress do you make in the school of Christ? Are you seeking for humility? And are you trying to speak and act in that way which will increase your confidence in God? Do you pray? Watch and pray lest ye enter into temptation. Now, dear son, watch and pray. If there are boys or girls whom you know are evil, you should remain away from them, not place yourself in their society. Ever seek to exert a good influence, that God may approve of your works. Remember, you are forming a character for heaven or for destruction. Oh, that you may form a good Christian character. You are daily stamping a record of your life by your course of action here. Let all your acts be such that you will not be ashamed to meet them in the judgment. God's eye never slumbers or sleeps. This all-seeing eye is ever upon you. Now, dear child, be not led astray by anyone. While you associate with Johnny, try to lead him to God. Talk to him in regard to his duty to love God. But in no case let Johnny have an influence over you, to divert your mind from the right or from duty. I hope Johnny will be led to give his heart to God and to devote his life to his service. I hope that George and you will strengthen one another in doing right, in loving prayer, loving to do your duty, loving faithfulness, honesty, and uprightness. I have great confidence in George. He is a boy of good principle. Love one another, help one another, pray with each other, and for each other. Exert a good influence over the younger members of the family. May the Lord bless you. How pleased we should be to see your pleasant face and to hear your voice and to see the children, Henry and Herbert and Grace. Dear children, you must try to help your mother all you possibly can, for your father is not at home to encourage her and to help to bear the burdens. I pray for you all, and love you all. I pray that the Lord Jesus will make you kind and patient and gentle and obedient. Your father would be pleased to be with you. He would greatly enjoy the society of your mother and of his children. But there are many things that must be done at this time which your father can do. Just as soon as we have done what must be done, we shall return to our home in St. Helena. Henry and Herbert, you are growing old enough to be able to study, able to exercise your physical and mental powers. You are to learn to pray and to be obedient. In this way you can be a great blessing to your mother, and she will not grieve so much because of your father's absence. The Lord Jesus will be pleased because you are trying to be his own little children. You are to be always truthful, and always kind and pleasant and gentle and obedient to your dear mother. Do not do or say anything that will grieve her heart. We are looking forward to the time when the Savior shall come in the clouds of heaven to gather his jewels to himself. I pray that you, my dear grandchildren, shall be among the number who shall be called true and pure and faithful, fitted to become members of the royal family. You are now old enough to know what it means to be obedient to your father and mother. I pray that you will always remember that the Son of God so loved you that he died that you might have everlasting life. But if you do not love Jesus, if you do not try to do those things that will please him, your characters will not be pure and true. You remember how the mothers brought their children to Jesus, that he might bless them. At first there were only one or two mothers. They were joined by others, and when they reached Jesus, there were quite a number of mothers and children. They were weary and dusty, but oh, so anxious to come into Christ's presence and receive his blessing. Christ had watched these mothers and their little ones all along the way. He heard the disciples forbidding them to come to him, and he said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." And he took the children in his arms, close to his great heart of love, and blessed them. These children never forgot the kind, gentle words that the Savior spoke to them. The mothers were never tired of repeating these words. Both to mothers and children the occurrence was a constant wellspring of joy. "Children, your father and mother are trying to do their best for you. They try to keep you from doing that which will displease the Lord Jesus. They present you to the Savior, that he may keep you from all harm. Every day you are to remember that you are under the keeping power of him who sees every action that you do and hears every word that you speak. You must seek to help yourselves by doing those things that will be pleasing in the sight of God, who is too pure and holy to regard with approval anything like falsehood or deception. You are old enough now to try to do right. I must now stop. I leave this letter with you, asking you to think of what I have written, and obey my words."